In Galatians 6 and verse 1 it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." Paul says two things here that seem to contradict. He says, first of all, bear one another's burdens in verse 2. And then in verse 5 he says, each one shall bear his own load. Well, which is it? Do we bear one another's burdens or do we bear our own load? Can others help us or are we on our own? Well, actually, both of these statements are true. And if we can balance these two truths, they constitute a key element in our service to God and to one another. So I want to talk for a minute this morning about bearing burdens. And the first part of this I'd like for us to discuss is the idea of bearing one another's burdens. That's in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But we need to set the context of this passage a little bit. In chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul has been discussing the battle that rages in each person, the battle between the spirit and the flesh. Are we going to walk after the spirit or are we going to follow the dictates of our flesh? And he lists in verse 19 of chapter 5, he lists the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the spirit in verse 22 down to the end of chapter 5. He is encouraging us to be spiritual people, people who follow after God's spirit, who are developing the qualities of Christ in our lives. And that bridges right into chapter 6 in the text we just began with, because you see in verse 1 of chapter 6 he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual." You see, we're focusing, this is an attitude, an action that comes from being spiritual. If we're spiritual, here's what we do. Not just a matter of thinking we're spiritual, feeling like the Spirit is in us, but what do we do? And he says, if you're spiritual, you'll do this. In verse 1 he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." It's a practical application of what it means to be a spiritual person. If someone is caught, entrapped, overtaken in a sin, people following God's Spirit must restore them. The word means to mend them, to correct them, to bring them back. But he also says to do it in a spirit of gentleness, because what they need is for someone to come with care and with delicacy to try to bring them out in this situation. And they're also watching themselves so that they're not tempted to sin. Now, having done all of that, Paul sort of zooms back in verse 2 and he says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Help each other and you'll fulfill the law of Christ. The image is of a brother weighted down with a heavy burden as he tries to walk along Christ's way, and we come along behind him and lift the load. And we help him with his burden. We bear his burden. Not completely, not forever, but we help him with the load he is carrying. Bearing. Bearing is a work word. Bearing is not something that is just words. Bearing is not something that is just emotion. Bearing is something we must do. If we are to bear our own burden or to bear others' burdens, there are real actions that must come out of this desire to help. And the implication is that without this action, we are not really spiritual. We are not really fulfilling Christ's law. So it becomes pretty important that we be sure we are bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 3 he says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." I believe this can be summed up in this way. If we think we're too good to do things like this, we're deceiving ourselves. Thinking we are something so that we don't have to help other people, we're too good for that, we're above that, that's no part of the law of Christ. And we are deceiving ourselves to think that we are truly following God if that's our attitude. If we don't think we have enough time or enough energy to do the things that love requires, then we are missing something in bearing others' burdens. If we think we're spiritual people, but we don't do what spiritual people do, we are deceiving ourselves. So he says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. We always seem to take care of our own problems, don't we? Our priorities, the things that confront us, they get first attention. We address those immediately and with great energy. There's always time, there's always energy to do what we need to get done. But with other people, those burdens might not be so pressing on us. And so the call is to step out of selfishness and self-focus and to look at others and help them with what they are struggling with. Bear one another's burdens. Let's flesh that out for a minute. First of all, I believe bearing one another's burdens has immediate application to restoring and rescuing brethren from sin. That's verse 1. Very simply, verse 1 says, brethren, if anyone is overtaken in any trespass, ask you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. We have the ability to mend a brother, to bring him back to Christ. We can work with him gently and cautiously and lead him back to the shepherd that he has wandered from. But the path back to the Savior, the long road of fixing problems, the tough acts that repentance requires, that is a burden. That's a burden that we have to carry. And here we have the image of us seeing a brother struggling to get back on the right track, and we lift his load. We help him to come back. We help restore him. We strengthen and encourage him. We teach him. We warn him. We hold him accountable. We are bearing his burden. Now, to be sure, we can't repent for him, but we can help him to repent. And if we believe we are following God's Spirit, we will do nothing else than to help him come back. Perhaps there are many people who are overtaken in a sin who would come back, but the burden just seems too heavy for them to carry alone. It seems to be too much for them to be able to restore everything to where it used to be, to correct the problems they've caused, to do what needs to be done. It just seems too daunting. We can help. And if we are spiritual, we will help. Now let me go ahead and make the application here. There are some in this local church who are drifting, who are overtaken in a trespass, who are struggling with living for Jesus. It's apparent. We know about it. What are we doing? Can we really claim to be following God if we won't go after them and help them? That's not the only way we can bear one another's burdens. We bear one another's burdens when we encourage our brethren. There are ways that we can help others on their path. Let's leave a marker here in Galatians 6. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 12 says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Hebrews 12:13, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We can bear burdens by encouraging. I want to explain something out front here. I believe this text is talking about how we need to take courage from information we've just learned in this chapter about what God is working on us, how God is dealing with us. But I also believe there is another application, because these are things we can do to help other people. Look again in verse 12. He says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Hands hang down because they are weary, but we can strengthen them. He says, the feeble knees. Knees are feeble from use. Knees are feeble from heavy loads being placed on them. But we can strengthen, we can help them, we can reinforce them. In verse 13 it says, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Feet are lame from overuse, but we can help straighten the path. We can help work for others to make their way easier. We all struggle with the demands of life. Especially, I think the idea here is time wears us down. And our hands get tired, our knees get weak, and our feet become lame. Grief weighs on us. Worry gnaws at us. Sickness afflicts us. Doubts nag us. Death haunts us. But brethren, we can help. We can help each other. We can lighten loads. We can strengthen hands. We can straighten paths. We can bear up under difficulty, and we can help others to bear their burdens as well. We can help bear burdens of grief or worry or sickness. We can help bear burdens where prayer is needed. We can listen to other people and pray with them and read the Scriptures with them. We can help to wash their wounds. We can bear their burdens and fulfill Christ's law. Now, in order to do that, you have to care. You have to want to. We have to want to help, or else we'll get out of the situation simply by saying, I've got better things to do. Or saying simple things like, well, I just wish there was something I could do to help. But that doesn't get it done. If we really care, we can really do the work of bearing burdens by encouraging. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13 it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is a work God demands from us as Christians. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But we can also help bear physical burdens. We usually, when we talk about something like this, we talk about money. And let me just go ahead and say, yes, money can be a part of this, and we're called on to give of our money if that's necessary. This is 1 John 3:17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Very clear. If you have goods and you are stingy and you won't help, then the love of God is not in you. That's not really what I want to address this morning. There are burdens that we can help to bear that are not necessarily financial. Perhaps there are young mothers struggling under the weight of caring for children. They might not need money, they might need a babysitter for a little while to help bear the burden. If someone's schedule is too taxing to take care of certain things, we can take care of the everyday tasks for them. Mow the yard, fix a meal. We help bear the burden. That's a physical burden. But when we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. We can take someone to the hospital or the doctor. Or we can sit up with someone who's sick. We can just give somebody a break in whatever their duties are. We are bearing burdens if we do that. Now, it takes some foresight, and it takes some thought, and it takes some care to see needs that are not always apparent. But we can bear one another's burdens if we are ready and willing to do the work. Let me show you Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. Just reinforce the fact that God wants us to be ready to meet needs, even if they're physical burdens, physical needs that come up. In Titus 3 and verse 1, we're just going to do a little hopscotching around Titus 3 real quick. Titus 3 and verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Titus 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Titus 3 and verse 14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. God expects us and commands us to help each other. We can think we're right with God. We can feel we love our brethren. We can be happy in the church where we're a member, and still not even be close to to fulfilling the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. Now let me say, there are times when people don't want to be helped. And try as we might, we can't get them to let us help with their physical or spiritual burdens. And I should say we need to quit being too proud and too stubborn to let our brethren do the work God commands them to do. But the fact that bearing burdens is sometimes taxing or frustrating, the fact that others might not want our help, that doesn't change what we've read one bit. It is still God's will. And bearing one another's burdens still completes, fulfills the law of Christ. Let me say again, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If we think we're too good for this, we are wrong. But let's go back to Galatians 6, and I want us to see the other side of the passage we've opened with. We need to bear one another's burdens, but we also need to bear our own load, we read in Galatians 6 and verse 5. Well, let's start in verse 3 of Galatians 6. He says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We've discussed that. But the idea here is if you think you are spiritual, be sure that you really are spiritual and don't deceive yourself. There is a danger of self-deception, thinking we're something that our actions reveal we are not. Especially if we think we're better than someone else because they have a burden or a sin, and at this moment we don't have that burden or that sin. And so we look at them in sort of a derogatory way and say, "Boy, they're so much beneath me." He says, "You're deceiving yourself." Verse 4, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Examine your work, as in the work of bearing one another's burdens. What are you doing? Look at your work. That will tell who you really are. Not just who you think you are, not just comparing yourself with other people. Look at the actual deeds you've done. And then, if you are spiritual, you can rejoice in who you are and not in someone else, not in someone else's weaknesses. Your joy won't be because someone else is not what they should be. Your joy will be because you are who you should be. Because, verse 5, each one shall bear his own load. We have our load to carry, and we're going to give an account for that. And no amount of people's weaknesses will take away our load or diminish it in the slightest. We must bear our own load. So, he says in verse 4, we examine our own work, we rejoice in ourselves alone, and we bear our own load. He's not saying we do this on our own. He's saying each one of us is going to stand before God for ourselves and no one else. Here is the point. Brethren, there are some burdens we cannot bear. There are some things we cannot do for others, and others cannot do for us. So while we need to say that bearing one another's burdens is important, we also need to stress, as the Apostle does, that we're all going to stand before God for ourselves. That we're all going to have responsibilities no one can meet for us. We can influence, we can encourage, we can teach, we can rebuke, but we can't make other people be what they should be. I want to talk for a moment about some burdens that we cannot bear for someone else, a load that each one of us must bear on our own. First of all, let's talk about the load of sin and guilt. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18. God writes Ezekiel 18 to confront the children of Israel about a proverb that was inaccurate. The proverb said that the children were suffering for the sins of the father. And God says, that proverb is done. No more proverb, it's wrong. Look in Ezekiel 18 and verse 2. Ezekiel 18:2. "What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." Pretty straightforward, isn't it? You have a proverb that says, the son dies because of the parents, the soul who sins shall die. God says, that's the end of this proverb. Here's the real proverb. The soul that sins shall die. Look down in verse 19. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of a father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Notice he uses the word bear. Son shall not bear the guilt of the father. That's a burden that the father has to bear. His sin and his guilt is on his head. Now, if the son does what is right and follows God, he doesn't have the burden of someone else's sin or guilt. He bears his own burden before God. Now, certainly he's disappointed in his dad. Certainly he'll try to tell his dad, what you're doing is wrong. But at the end of the day, the dad's guilt is on his head and the son's guilt is on his head. Each one shall bear his own load. Now, try as we might, we cannot bear the guilt or the burden of sin for someone else. Parents look with grief on their children as they see them sometimes do sinful things. But they cannot transfer the guilt of their sin onto them. I'm sure parents would, but they cannot. Each one bears his own load. They can teach, they can encourage, they can warn, but they cannot bear that burden for them. Jesus can take away sin. Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree. But even with Jesus taking away our sin, it's still a matter of our choice and responsibility, isn't it? If you don't accept and obey Jesus, then you're going to bear your own sin and guilt in the day of judgment. Each one shall bear his own load. I can't make you believe in Jesus. I can't make you accept Him. That's a burden you must bear. I can't bear it for you. You see, each one bears his own load regarding sin and guilt. But sort of going along with that, we all bear our own load of obedience. And I want to stay here in Ezekiel 18 to start with this point in verse 5. Go back to verse 5 of the chapter. Ezekiel 18:5 says, but if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, he goes through verse 6 and 7 and 8, talks about his righteousness. Verse 9, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. If he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things, he describes his wickedness. Verse 13, if he has exacted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. If, however, verse 14, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done and considers but does not do likewise. And he describes his righteousness. Verse 17, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase but has executed my statutes and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. All right, you got all that? First man obeys God and lives. His son disobeys God. He's going to die. His son sees his dad and says, I don't want to be like him. I want to be like granddad. And so he obeys God and lives. But do you see, each one stands alone based on his own obedience. Each one bears his own load before God. And so no one could obey for the other. That includes parents and children of accountable age, as we see here. A parent can train, a parent can encourage, a parent can teach and live the Word of God, but children will bear their own load. They have to choose to obey, and no parent can take that load off for them. This is an important point. Brethren, we try to teach and save lost souls. We reach after them. We try to attract them to the gospel. We try to bring them to a state where we can sit down and talk to them about what God has done for them. We try to live as we should before them. But we need to remember, we cannot obey for them. Look with me in Acts chapter 18. Acts 18. It would be wonderful if we could do it for them. It would be wonderful if we could be baptized for everyone else in the world. But we cannot bear the load of obedience for them. In Acts chapter 18, and this is not the only experience Paul had with this, as he preaches in Acts 18 and verse 4, it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" Paul tried to teach them, but they refused to hear it. They opposed him. They blasphemed. Paul doesn't in some way try to bear their burden. Instead, he says, "Your blood be on your own head." Each one will bear his own load. And he'll bear guilt for not responding to the Lord. He'll bear guilt for not obeying the Lord. But Paul says, "I can't do that for you. I'm going to someone who's going to hear." But he couldn't obey for them. It's important for us to remember that. There comes a time when we've done all we can. When we've bent over backwards to help someone save their soul, but with no result, and we have to say like Paul did, "Your blood is on your own head. You'll have to bear your own load. I've done what I could. I've tried as best I could to lead you to the right way. But that's a burden I cannot bear for you." That includes what our brethren try to do for us. Sometimes we think our brethren can take care of our obedient responsibility for us. Now, sometimes that means the preacher. That somehow we can pay a man so we don't have to do our part in visiting or in evangelism or in Bible study for our own personal Bible study. But you know what? Even if the preacher does everything he should do, he visits everyone he should visit, preaches the gospel to everyone he can, studies the Bible and knows it backwards and forward, that doesn't change our responsibility one bit, does it? Doesn't mean somehow I don't have to study the Bible. He did it for me. I don't have to teach the gospel. Oh, the preacher does that. See, we have to bear our own load of obedience. And when God gives us a command, we have to obey the command. No one can do that for us. And if we don't obey, we will stand in judgment for ourselves. And no one else's obedience will somehow mask our disobedience. At times we think that elders will take care of our obedient responsibilities. And to be sure, elders will do their work. Elders work. But they can't do your work for you. They can't make you obedient to God, do what they may. We still have to bear our own load. Elders can help us. Elders can encourage us. They watch out for our souls. But they cannot obey for us. A third burden we cannot bear for another person is the burden of spirituality. Please understand what I mean when I use that word. I mean the idea of following God's Spirit, of being faithful, of having the relationship with God that we should have. And I believe that's the point. If you'll go with me back to Galatians 6, I believe that's the point of the idea of verse 5. If you are spiritual, you will do the things spiritual people do, but you will have to bear your own load as regards that relationship. In Galatians 6 and verse 4, he says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." No one, brethren, can be spiritual for us. We cannot rejoice in the fact that someone else is close to God, as if that means something for our salvation. You will have to bear your own load. We can be encouraged by others. Others can be an example to us. But it doesn't somehow rub off on us that if we're just close enough to a spiritual person, we'll just magically become spiritual. That's a burden no one can bear for us. On the day of judgment, we will stand before Jesus and we will give an account. And it will just be us. I won't stand with you. You won't stand with me. It will be me and the Lord Jesus. And hopefully we will have lived in such a way that we can say, the sin and guilt are gone because of the sacrifice of Christ. I have been obedient. I have a relationship with my Lord. But if you don't, there's no escape from that. There's no person that can somehow get you out of that situation. Each one will bear his own load. We know whether we're really spiritual people. The warning here is not to deceive ourselves about, because that is a load that no one else can bear for us. We have to bear ourselves. So I ask you, are you a spiritual person? Not do you know spiritual people. Not do you think you are spiritual. Are you doing the work that is commensurate with following the Spirit of God? Are you faithful? And when I say that word, I don't just mean in attending assemblies of the Lord's church. Faithful in relationship with God. Faithful in moral living. Faithful in the way you deal with others. I can't be faithful for you, and you can't be faithful for me. Each one will bear his own load. Hope that you see, these things are not contradictory. Bearing one another's burdens and bearing our own load are two aspects that we really need to understand. There is usually an imbalance in these thoughts. Sometimes we think that we need to bear one another's burdens to the point that we feel guilty for someone else whenever they're not what they should be. And it's at that point we need to remember they're going to bear their own load. But on the other hand, sometimes we think, well, they've got to bear their own load. And we talk about individual responsibility to the point that we don't help anybody. And that leads us to do things like say, well, we have the gospel and they know where to find us. Doors are open if they want to come. As if everyone is just going to jump into the church building and be saved. You see, we need to help bear their burden and lead them. We need to bring them back if they've wandered from the truth. We need to encourage and strengthen them. We can help bear their burdens. So you see, we need a balance. We need to understand the need to help, and we also need to understand that ultimately, we're all going to stand on our own. Our goal is to help and to strengthen one another so that we can all stand on our own and be prepared for the day of judgment. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one will give account for the things done in the body, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. So, if there is someone here this morning who has not yet named the name of Jesus, we want to lead you to Christ this morning. We can't obey for you. We can't make you do what you should. But we can talk with you. We can encourage you. We can plead with you to do what God commands. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That statement is just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was spoken. And if you believe in Jesus and you're willing to give your life to him, to be buried with him in baptism, we would rejoice with you and be thrilled because you would be able to stand in the last day with Jesus on your side. Are you ready to do that this morning? Please come to the front now as we stand and sing to encourage you.